Kaylee assured me that she was able of being able to jump straight in, and I, with her athletic ability, I have no doubt. But we were not prepared for the splash zone this morning, so I had to tell on you just a little bit. What a blessing to be able to start the service with baptism this morning. This is my little sister. This is Kaylee June Underwood. And Kaylee, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and upon obedience to His command for you to be baptized, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, buried with Christ in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life. Doesn't she have one of the greatest smiles you've ever seen? And I tell you what, of all the times that you know that we're pleased and smiling, it's when we're obedient to the Lord. But our presentation of her this morning doesn't stop here, because she is making her public profession of faith, but she's also coming to be a part of this church through baptism. So she comes this morning making her public profession of faith, but also requesting church membership. So what's your pleasure concerning her request? Yeah. Those of you that are at home, you say it a little louder so that we can hear you, okay? We know that we've got a sparse crowd this morning, but it's a quality crowd. So we're thankful for that. We're going to do a presentation at another time when we'll have a chance to, and we'll do the little ceremony, okay? We'll do that at a different time. This is Cody Michael Gosnell. Cody, upon your profession of faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and in obedience to His command for you to be baptized, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and His Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, and raised to walk in newness of life. Yeah, we'll put one around him there. Cody, as we're getting to grow and know one another, beginning to appreciate him more and more. I'm thankful for his desire to learn and grow in Christ. And this morning I ask for your thoughts and prayers for him as he does that. Will you do that, church family? And God bless you, brother. What a blessing to start here. Would you stand with me? Let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer. And we have the opportunity not just to pray, but to seek the heart of our Lord together. Pray with me, won't you? Precious Father, we are grateful for the privilege and the blessing of being in your house today. We're thankful for those who are here in person. We're thankful for those who have joined us through the television ways. Father, we just ask, would you bless our gathering? You said not to forsake the gathering of ourselves, so here we are, Father, drawing strength and comfort and help from one another, but also, Lord, from your Holy Spirit. Bless us as we worship. Bless us as we seek your heart. And Lord, we pray that of all things we do this morning, we pray that our hearts would be tuned to you and that we would honor and bless you. Thank you, Lord, for your presence with us today. It is in Christ Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. You're welcome to remain standing as we sing.
We're going to sing a new song this morning. And I thought it was a great time to sing it. Because sometimes we sing things and we're like, do we really dance in His freedom? Do we really find that much joy? Well, if you're willing to come up here in front of a whole crowd and be dunked into a tub to profess your faith in Christ and the things He's done for you, us, then I know inside we dance in our freedom that He gave us. Amen. So as we sing this song, He's done great things.
Come let us worship. Come let us worship our King. Come let us bow at His feet. He had that great name. See what our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He had done great things. He has done great things. Yeah. Oh, hero, our hero of heaven. The grave, you free every captive and break every chain. Oh God, you have done great things. We dance your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh God, you have done great things.
Been faithful.
You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things.
And I know.
And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. You do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh,
above it all.
Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things.
We'll sing that out again. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things.
You've got it now. Sing with all your heart.
Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things.
Morning, He is great and good. If we serve a God that has done everything for us, He came when we were still weak, when we were still sinners. He came and He redeemed us and He said, "You're mine." If we serve a good God, don't we want to be His children and respond to that love? And that's what this next song is. As it is in heaven and in your heart, may it be in my heart.
Let my heart be a temple. Let that temple have a throne.
Make this your prayer.
Let the one who sits upon it be you and you alone. Amen.
I surrender.
I surrender my ambitions. I lay down all my pride that I would be a servant and you would be my God.
So this is our prayer.
Let your will be done in me. Let your kingdom come in me. In my life, Lord, let it be as it is in heaven. Like a battle-weary soldier, I am lifting up my hands in absolute surrender. My life, my will, my plans. Yours will be the glory, the honor and the fame. This will be my story, lifting high your name. Give my life, God, I am forever yours.
Do you need the Lord this morning? Are you willing to show that by lifting your hands?
I lift my hands and say that I need you. I lift my heart and say that I love you. I give my life, God, I am forever. survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died. Oh, my richest gain, I count the loss, and pour contempt on all my prize.
See from his head.
See from his hand, his hands, his feet. Truly live. Oh.
be seated. This is our prayer song. And so would you hold those prayer requests out to the side if you have those for us? All to Jesus.
And all to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give, and I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily.
I surrender to Him.
I surrender all. I surrender all. And all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. And all to Jesus I surrender, humbly at His feet I bow, and worldly pleasure all forsake. Jesus, take me now, and I surrender all. And I surrender all. And all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender. All to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou art mine. Surrender all. I surrender all. And all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Sing it out, I surrender.
I surrender all.
Make this a prayer.
I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender.
Precious Father, we're so thankful to have You to come to. This morning, Lord, we pray for our congregation, whether they were able to make it here or whether they're home. We ask, God, for Your Holy Spirit to give grace and strength to them. And Lord, as we worship together, would You draw our hearts together wherever we may be. Father, we lift up the Hill family this morning. We pray for Cindy Hill and the loss of Ernie early this day. We pray for Carter and Diane and Doug and the whole family, Father, as they deal with his loss. Father, we pray for Ken Bagwell and Cheryl as she cares for him. We ask for grace and strength for her, Lord. For Ken as he heals. We pray for our little brother Christopher. God, that You would give him grace and strength and healing. We pray, Lord, as they're doing the MRI, that they would find that things are better. And God, that they would know what to do to make things better. lift up this request, Father, for certain family members to come to know Christ Jesus. We pray for Jim Kimbrough for healing and for the doctor's wisdom so that they would know where the loss of blood is coming from. We pray for his sweet wife, Sue, God, for strength and for peace. We lift up this prayer for co-workers, for Lynn and for others. Father, we pray for the Gomez family, Lord, in providing a home. God, would you help them to find the right place, the right size, the right place. Father, just the right peace. Would you find the fit for them, Lord, as they are looking? Pray for the finances. Pray for strength for Jose, for healing, for peace for Cassandra, for your grace and peace, Father. Lord, we know that there are a lot of concerns with weather, and we pray, God, that you would watch over our family, our friends. Pray for these who've come today, Lord, that you would give them safe travels home. But also, Lord, we pray right now for our hearts as we are bound together in the love of Christ Jesus. Lord, as we look at your word and are reminded that we are to be like you, help us, Father, to serve you well. And Lord, even in our times of difficulty, would you remind us and help us, Lord, to lean on you, to be reminded, Father, that it's not about our comfort, it's about our character. So help us to be like you, Father. Help us to be like your Son, Christ Jesus. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. Let's try that again. Good morning. There you go. I'm going to get you all warmed up before I get started. You know, I could have given you a surprise this morning like I did those that were going to be baptized. I was going to tell them when they came into the office that the water inside the building wasn't working. We're going to have to do it outside. And they were so grateful for a warm baptismal trough in here. Amen? I think we all were. You know, this last number of weeks, we had a special guest last week as we had our missionary come and share with us. But in previous weeks, I've been sharing with you about your purpose in Christ. This morning, would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look also at Romans chapter 8 in just a moment. But would you turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at this verse. Do you know your first purpose that we talked about just a few weeks ago is to get to know God? That's your first purpose, to know and to love God our Father. Amen? Do you love the Lord? I pray that you do and that you're learning to know Him and to love Him more every day. You know how we practice that love? More worship is one of a great way to practice that love. So we've been practicing our love for the Lord this morning. The second purpose for our life is for us to love other people. Do you remember the greatest commandment? Do you remember what Jesus said? To love the Lord your God with all your good hints from the pastor, right? We're to love Him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves. So we're supposed to love other people. Today we're going to look at our third purpose. And God put you on this earth for a reason. You've got a purpose for being here. It wasn't happenstance. It wasn't accidental. And just getting through, just muddling through, is not what God's plan is for you. You know what your third purpose is? Your third purpose is to become like God's Son, is to become like Christ Jesus, to develop a character like Christ, to think like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to have values like Jesus. Would you stand with me in honor of reading His Word? We're going to start with Ephesians chapter 4, and then we're going to look in just a moment at Romans chapter 8. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and following says this, And he himself, those are capital letters, so who's it talking about? Talking about God. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, who's he talking about? He's talking about the church. He's talking about those who believe in Christ as Lord. And he says he gave some to be all these different things, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. And then it says what he gave them these things for. It says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now look at this part. That we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. In other words, he's saying, you need to grow, you need to be discipled, you need to be mature, you need to stop being children, so that you won't be deceived by the world. And then he said, but speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up. Folks, God's word just said, look, I mean, God's word right now is looking you straight in the eye. And you know what it's saying? It put its hands on its hips and it said, grow up. Isn't that what it said? It says, stop being children and grow up. And he said, grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ Jesus. From the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. All these things that it's talking about, it says so that we're knit together, we're joined together, so that we stop being children and that we grow up, that we mature in the Lord. That is your purpose. Father, would you help us not only to be hearers of the word, but doers. God, we want to be maturing, being discipled, growing. So this morning, Lord, would you excite our hearts in the ways that you use to grow us. Help us to see them. Help us to be in practice of them. And Lord, obedient to your call. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? God's word says that we are to stop being children and we're to grow up. My third purpose in life is to become like Christ, to grow up. Now, what does it mean to grow up? I think we kind of understand a lot of this, doesn't it? But here it means to be like Christ. You know, babies are cute, right? Y'all know I'm a new pawpaw. I'm sure Henry's watching right now from home. I'm sure he is. But, you know, I am a new pawpaw, and I'm going to tell you, babies are just as cute as they can be, especially when they look like their pawpaw. But if babies were to stay babies and never grow up, never to mature, never to develop, that's called a tragedy. You know, babies are wonderful, but we expect them to grow and to become children and then adults. God put you here, dear people, to become like Christ. God wants you to mature and he wants you to develop. A lot of people, a lot of Christians grow older in Christ, but they don't mature. They might get older, but they don't grow up. God put you here to go through the process of discipleship. And that process of discipleship doesn't happen overnight. As a matter of fact, isn't it true that a lot of times our growth in Christ takes our entire life to get us to where we need to be? But we're to be growing each and every day. You know, there are two obvious things that God puts in our life that I think we all understand is there to help us to grow. And the first one is the Bible. This right here, dear friends, if you really want to grow spiritually, if you want to mature in Christ, it's going to start right here. You got to read God's word. You got to practice God's word. You got to meditate on God's word. Get into this book. Read it. Study it. Memorize it. And then live it. Another obvious tool that God gives is people. I want you to look to your left and right. Is anybody sitting there? Nod. Give them a little acknowledgement. Now here's the thing. That person that you just saw, whether a little older than you, maybe a little younger than you, maybe different than you, did you know that as a godly individual, as a family of Christ, these people were put here to help you to grow? This person that you just saw and throughout this building are here to help you to grow. We're to learn from one another. God uses other people. We talked about fellowship a couple of weeks ago, and that is something that God uses. So you need to be spending your time with mature Christians and growing in Christ. Now, of course, God uses more than just the Bible. God uses more than just fellowship and friends to grow us. There are some other things, and we're going to delve into those this morning. Here are some tough ones that I think that we really struggle with sometimes. First and foremost, this morning, we're going to talk about this. God uses difficulties to grow you. God uses troubles to teach us to trust Him. Now, everybody knows Romans 8:28. I'm going to just about bet that everybody here can quote all or most of Romans 8:28. So let's do this. Quote Romans 8:28 with me, okay? It goes like this. Say it with me if you can. We know that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord, for those that are called according to His purpose. Now, honestly, how many of you are pretty familiar with that verse? I think you are. Now, without looking, don't look up there, but without looking, could anybody even tell me the content of verse 29? Here's our problem. We like some verses and others we kind of like to leave off. Everybody knows Romans 8:28. God can use everything, and God can use anything to work good in your life. But let's look at the completion of that thought, and the completion of that thought is found in verse 29. Look at verse 29 with me. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. We're going to stop right there. He said, thank you, bless your heart. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And then the sentence doesn't stop. He says, for those He foreknew, He predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. So God's Word tells us that He uses all things for what? For good. But what is the good? What is the good that He's talking about here? We don't want to just pull a scripture out and use it improperly, do we? So let's look at what it's saying. Let's look and see what the rest is there for. God uses all things for our good. So what is that good? According to verse 29, it is in making us like His Son. So you're going, you mean those verses go together? Well, of course they do. They are related. God uses all things for those who love Him, for those who are called according to His purpose. He uses all these things for your good, which is to make you more like Jesus. That's what it's about. Yay! God is making you like His Son. Oh, God's going to try to make me like His Son. Listen, with all things. Does that include bad things? Does that include painful things? Yes. What about when we make mistakes? Yes. God's Word says, in all things, God works for the good of those who love Him. Now, folks, I want you to understand this. It does not say that all things are good. Nowhere in God's Word does it say that evil is good. As a matter of fact, the only people who say that are those who are against God. Remember, it says in the latter days that they're going to call good evil and evil good. Not everything is good. There's a lot of bad in the world. But our Lord and our God, if we will let Him, will use even the bad things that happen to me for my good. Yes, even my mess ups can teach me to be closer to God. So God uses difficulties to strengthen us, to help us to trust Him. The next thing is that God uses trials to strengthen us. Now, you may think they're the same thing. Well, they're just different enough, we're going to separate them a bit. In the Bible, troubles and difficulties are often called trials or tribulation. Now, understand this, that trials specifically are situations designed by God to draw us closer to Him. Not all troubles are spiritual trials. But folks, I'll tell you what, they can be made to be that way if we give them to the Lord. If things are always going great in your life, if you never have any difficulty, if you never have a challenge, that doesn't grow you. That doesn't bring you stronger faith. So God allows some things to come into your life that will challenge you for growth, challenge you to lean more on Him. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4 tell us that trouble produces patience. And patience produces character. And character produces hope. You see that in the Word? Why is that the case? Why do troubles make for patience? Why does patience produce character? Why does character produce more hope? I'm going to tell you how it's working that way and why God makes it that way. It's because God is far more interested in what you are than in what you have. Let me say it another way. God is far more interested in your character than He is in your comfort. God wants you to be growing. God wants you to be more like Him. So God's goal is for you to grow in character. Why? Why? Why can't God just be all about my comfort? Why can't God just be all about me having 72 degree days on the days that I want to go fishing? And why can't He allow me to go fishing more often than I do? And why can't, you know what, why did I think about you, Jesse? I know Jesse's a fisherman deluxe. He loves to fish. He tried to go fishing and this is what he got. So, you know, why isn't God more interested in my comfort? Why isn't God more interested in my getting what I want? Are you ready for this one? Because this world is temporary. This world is short term. This world is just a brief while. The Bible says that it's like the steam that appears above a boiling pot, and just like that, it's gone. But my character, my discipleship, my growth, my becoming like Christ is going to go with me to the next world, and I get to have it forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. It never stops. My purpose in life is to become more like Christ. All kinds of problems will come to me and is going to come to you. Why? Because the goal of this life is not your comfort. Because earth is not heaven. Earth is the preparatory stage for heaven. Earth is the growth place to learn to know and to love the Lord our God. God's goal for your life is character development. Let me reread this scripture to you, Romans 5, 3 and 4. Troubles produce patience, and patience produces character, and character produces hope. Every problem you face has a purpose. Did you know that? The little ones, the big ones. Even the ones when the pipe sink disappears out from under the sink when you're trying to wash things out. We talked about that just this morning. I thought, you know, and I had to tell my brother about a time not too long ago that I was working on the sink, so I took the pipes out, but I had to run some water, so I put a bucket underneath there. And it got full. so I needed to empty it because it was about to run over. So you know what I did? I picked it up and I poured it down the sink. And I used my famous words. I said, "Are you kidding me? Really?" Now, did God have something for me to learn there? I'm sure he did. I'm going to tell you, I don't remember really whether I learned it at that point or not. So God probably is going to have to do it again. But everything that happens to you, every trial, every difficulty, yes, even every good thing, it has a purpose for you. God has a purpose. God can use it to build character in your life, to mold me, to make me like Jesus Christ. Jesus went through troubles in his life. Jesus had a lot of problems and troubles in his life. And so will you. So will we all. In Mark chapter 14, Scripture tells us that Jesus had a heaviness. Listen to what in John chapter 14. This was as Christ was coming to the garden and he was preparing for the cross. It says in 14:32 and 34, it says, "Then they came to a place which was called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, 'Sit here while I pray.' And he took Peter and James and John with him, and he began to be troubled." Does that sound like fun? Does that sound like Christ was just having an easy day? "He began to be troubled and deeply distressed. And then he said to them, 'My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death.'" Jesus had a heavy load on him. And he told them, he said, "Stay here and watch and pray." Now many of you know that kind of heaviness. Many of you know that difficulty. And you know how sometimes we don't respond very well to it. But I want you to take note how Jesus responded. In verse 36, it says that Jesus said, "Father, everything is possible for you. Please take this cup of suffering away from me. And yet, Lord, not my will, but thine be done." He said, "No, Lord, I don't want my will. I want yours to be done." Here's a good lesson from Jesus. Here's one that I think a lot of people forget. It's a good lesson from Christ. It is okay, listen to me, it is okay to say to God, "God, I really don't like this. This is bad. This is tough. This is hard. Please take it away." Some people say, "Oh, we're not supposed to ask for it." But listen, Jesus asked if it was possible. If it was possible for God's will to be done and take it away, then take it away. Nevertheless, he said, "What? Your will be done." Jesus said, "Lord, if it's possible, take it away. Your will be done in my life, Lord." So in other words, to be like Christ, you've got to learn to trust God. To say, "Lord, you know what's coming. You know what needs to be done. You know what's going to happen." God uses trouble to teach us to trust Him. Even when things look bad, we trust Him. The next thing is that God uses trespasses, difficulties, and hurts from others to teach us to forgive. Do you remember that phrase in the Lord's Prayer? Do you remember it? You know, you remember the Lord's Prayer where Jesus taught the disciples to pray and he said, "Forgive us of our trespasses as what? As we forgive others who trespass against us." This is a tough one. This is a deeply difficult task in Christ. Bearing the hurt of other people without retaliating back. That's why Jesus said that if somebody smites you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. That's what he's talking about. He's saying, just because somebody offends you doesn't mean that you have the right to offend back. This is the most difficult step, I think, there is in human nature in becoming like Jesus Christ. It often involves being misunderstood for Jesus, being criticized, being judged, being hurt physically or emotionally, verbally. It may even involve death. That's why there's so many Christian people that over the decades and over the centuries have been martyred for Christ because they stood for the Lord. Now let me be very clear. God does not cause this kind of evil against you. This is the devil. This is the world. These things are evil things, and God is not the author of evil. And yet, God allows it because this world has evil in it. God hates sin. Let me say this again. God hates sin. He loves the sinner, but He hates sin. And He didn't even protect His very own Son from the effects of evil in this world. Jesus was misunderstood. Jesus was criticized. Jesus was hurt. Jesus was judged. Jesus was abused. As a matter of fact, let me read to you from Matthew chapter 27. Look and see what happened to Christ. Matthew 27 verse 39 and following says, "And those who passed by while He was on the cross," they couldn't just even just leave Him on the cross, but they had to wag their tongues at Him. It says, "And those who passed by blasphemed Him, wagging their heads and saying, 'You who destroyed the temple and built it in 3 days, save yourself. If you're the Son of God, come down from that cross.'" You know what? I'm going to tell you that if I had been Jesus at that point, I would have been very tempted. But Jesus didn't say, "My will." He said, "What? Thy will be done." And Jesus finished what He started. He said, "Likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with the scribes and elders, said, 'He saved others. Himself He cannot save. If He's the King of Israel, let Him now come down from the cross and we will believe Him. He trusted in God, now let Him deliver Him now if He will have Him.' For He said, 'I am the Son of God.' Even the robbers who were crucified with Him reviled Him with the same things." What would you have felt like doing? How would you have responded? What was Jesus' response? Luke chapter 23, verse 34 tells us what Jesus' response was. It says that Jesus on the cross said, "Father," what? "Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." That's the response of Jesus Christ. What was Jesus' response to all the trespass? Jesus responded to evil with good. And if we're to grow up spiritually, if we're going to mature in Christ, we've got to do the exact same thing. The truth is, in life, you're going to be hurt. Amen? You're going to be hurt. You're going to be abused. You're going to be misunderstood. But God's Word says that our response is never to return evil for evil, but to return good for their evil. To be like Christ, we have to learn to forgive. Folks, this is not heaven. It's not a perfect place. We're going there someday, but until we get there, we have got to learn to forgive and to be like Christ. This is the toughest one. This is the most difficult one that I face. So let me give you a couple of tips for how to handle this. Let me give you just two things. When someone has done you wrong and you need to forgive them, practice Ephesians 4:32, and that is, forgive others just as Christ has forgiven you. When somebody needs forgiveness in your household, or somebody needs forgiveness in your neighborhood, or at your work, wherever it happens to be, remember that God has first forgiven you. Even the model prayer says, "Forgive us as we forgive those who've trespassed against us." God is never going to ask you to forgive anybody any more than you have probably already been forgiven by Him. Amen? The second thing to remember, first thing is remember that God has forgiven you. Secondly, remember that God is in control. God is in charge of this place. When you're being hurt by people, When you're being hurt by someone, they mean it for bad, but God can use it for good. Don't think that God does not see what's going on. We were reminded in our Revelation study just this last week that the Bible says that God is walking around in the midst of the lampstands. In other words, Christ is right there in the midst of us. He sees what's going on. He sees the good that you do. He sees the bad that others do to you. He also sees the evil we do, and He calls it against us. So be careful, dear friends. Remember that God is in control. But God can use the bad and the difficult things that happen to you for your good. Joseph in Genesis, you remember Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers? You remember that Joseph not only was sold into slavery, but even in slavery he was mistreated and he was lied about and he was thrown into jail? And yet God's word says that even though he was betrayed, even though he was sold into slavery, even though he was lied to and lied about, God said that he used it to save at least two nations and more. He saved Egypt and he saved Israel through him. Why? Because of the famine that God revealed to him and that he came, that he saved them from. And then his brothers came. Do you remember his brothers came and they wanted food and they knelt before him, and it says that Joseph knew who they were. And Joseph reveals to them, he said, "I'm your brother." And his brothers, man, they just duck down and they go, "Oh, we're in trouble now." And yet in Genesis chapter 50, verse 20, we find that verse that so many of us need to remember. Joseph looked at them and he said, "It's okay. I'm going to forgive you because you see, you meant it for evil, but God used it for good." How would Joseph have been used of God if all he did was whine and cry and hide and fuss instead of saying, "God, you use me in this situation"? That's called spiritual maturity, friends. God uses trouble to teach us to trust. God uses troubles to teach us to obey. God uses trespass to teach us to forgive. We cannot become like Jesus. We cannot become like Christ without first learning to trust God and obey His word, and forgive others. Here's one thing that I don't think that you could even begin to doubt. Did you realize that your greatest testimony as a believer might well be how you handle hurt? Not how you handle the good times, but how you handle adversity. How do you respond when other people hurt you? How do you respond? Do you respond like Jesus did? God's purpose for you, God's purpose for your life is to make you more like Jesus. That's His call. If that's true, and it is, you can indeed expect to go through what Jesus went through. If you're not going through what Jesus went through, you're not following Christ. He will take you through a Gethsemane, an experience of trouble. He'll take you to a place where you can learn to trust His love. He'll take you through a desert, and He'll have you go through times of temptation, an experience of being tempted beyond what you think you can bear. Why? So that you can learn to obey God and do the right thing. He'll take you to the cross, a time of trespass when somebody hurts you and does you wrong. And that's where you'll learn to forgive. But here's what I love. I don't love the difficulty, but I love what God does through the difficulty. Here's a promise. Listen to Romans chapter 8, verse 17. It says, "If we're God's children, then we are heirs with Jesus Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him in this world, we will be glorified with Him in the next." Do you see the promise? Do you hear the promise? I don't know what you're going through these days, but He says that if you will suffer with Him and you will be obedient, He said, "You are not only my friend, you're heirs with me, joint heirs with Christ, and you will receive the glorification just as I will." Again, I don't know what you're going through, but I do know how God wants you to respond to it. Philippians 2:5 says, "Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Again, I don't know what your troubles are, but I know how God wants you to respond to them. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, so many times life does not make sense, and it's because we stopped listening to You. Life truly does make so much more sense when we realize that it's not about our career, it's not about our comfort, it's about our character, and it's about becoming like You. God, would You help us to use life for the reason that You gave it to us? Help us to become more like You. And I'm going to ask if you would, if you're hearing this prayer right now, would you pray this prayer? If you know Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to be more like Him, would you pray this prayer? Just pray, "Dear God, I want to grow in character. I want to become who You made me to be. Thank You, God, for the model of Jesus. I want to become more like Jesus in the way that I think, in the way that I feel, in the way that I act. And dear God, if that means taking me through some troubled times, then so be it, Lord. I want Your will for my life. And if that means going through a wilderness of temptation, then God, here I am. Please give me the strength to make the right choices. God, if that means that I must endure the hurts of other people, then teach me to forgive as much as You have forgiven me. God, help me to grow to be like Christ." And dear friend, if you've never opened your life to Jesus Christ and you'd like to, would you just pray this simple prayer? Just say, "Jesus, I can't live like You unless I know You. I want to. So God, I want to know You today. Forgive my sin. Come into my life. As much as I know how right now, Lord, I want to ask You to come into my life and into my heart. I want to be Your child and follow You. In Your name." Hi, I'm Pastor Gary Ladd. It's our hope and our prayer that God's Word has touched your heart today. Perhaps you'd like to ask God for His help in your life right now. Did you know that you can call on God's Holy Spirit to help you through prayer right now, right where you are? If you pray sincerely in faith, the Heavenly Father will hear your prayer. He'll hear your prayer of confession, of forgiveness, and for comfort. If you already know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you know that God wants you to be closer to Him, to draw you in closer, would you pray right now and ask God to forgive you of your sin and to draw you in close to Him, to that personal love relationship that God wants you to have? Did you know that God's Word tells us in 1 John 1:9 that if you'll confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins? If you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart or into your life, dear friend, please do that today. He wants to have a personal love relationship with you. He wants to be your Lord and your Savior. If God's Holy Spirit is pulling on your heart right now, this is how you can receive Him as your Lord and Savior today. It's really a very simple process of faith called admit, believe, and confess. Admit that you're a sinner and that you need God's help. Believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son, that He came to this earth, that He lived His perfect life, that He died on the cross for your sin, and that He rose again so that He might prepare a place for you in heaven. And then the last thing that you need to do is confess. Confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, the boss of your life, and that He is your Savior. If you'd like to do that right now, you can pray a very simple prayer, invite Him into your life. If you would, just repeat this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I want to know you personally. I acknowledge that my sins have separated me from you. Please forgive me of those sins, Lord. Thank you for sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for me, to die in my place. And thank you, Father, that he rose again to be my Lord and my Savior. I now ask you to rescue me from my sin, and I place my faith in you alone for forgiveness and for eternal life. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, and you prayed that prayer in faith, believing, then, dear friend, you've begun your spiritual walk with God through Jesus Christ. Please let us know about this, won't you? This is just the beginning, and we'd like to pray with you and for you and to help you to start your process of growing with Jesus Christ. Please contact the church offices of Grace Point at the email that you see right there on your screen. If you'd like to access other sermons or helps, or if you'd like to find out more about Grace Point Ministries, service times, Bible studies, youth or children's activities, please look us up at the website on your screen right now, gpf.church. Thank you for joining us for our worship broadcast today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace.